Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Sorry, had to set the parking brake. Scooter. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 through 16. Keep your Bibles open. I want to help you tonight. This is going to be an interesting Bible study, at least it was to me. I hope you'll follow the logic behind it a good bit here, because it's necessary. So I'm going to need you to think with me just a little bit tonight. Verse number 9, two are better than one, because they have a good report or good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is the poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king or congressional woman, who will not will no more be admonished. Sorry, I had to say it. For out of prison he cometh to reign. That's Trump. Where also? Sorry, it's just happening as I'm reading. All right. Whereas also he hath that is born in the kingdom becometh poor. I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with a second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, we're going to use our Bibles a little bit, but keep a marker or your finger somewhere here in Ecclesiastes 4, because we're going to come back to this often during the Bible study. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Sin causes separation in relationships. Sin is what causes separation in relationships. Sin caused a separation between God and man, and sin causes separation between man and man. Now, that's not an unknown factor here, but let me put it down to where we live. Sin causes people to fuss and have contention. Sin causes disagreement and conflict. Sin causes people to truly distance themselves from one another. By the way, sin is not from God, sin is from the devil. You see, sometimes we want to blame God for a distance in a relationship, and he wants us to look at the mirror because we're the ones that sin, not him. So, it is not, by the way, sin is of the devil, but listen to this. God is love. The devil is not sin. The devil is not the source of sin. We are. Well, the devil made me do it. No, you made you do it. God can love through you, but you're the only one who can choose to sin or not. Don't think that the devil is the source of sin. He is not. We are. Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our pride hath deceived us, as I said last Sunday. So, the devil isn't the source of truth, but the devil is the source of trying to guide us away from truth into doing what we want instead of what God wants. In other words, sin and the results of sin are the exact opposite of what God wants. Does that make sense to everybody? So sin is the exact opposite of what God wants. God made us to be righteous. We chose to sin. That is the exact opposite. God is love. Sin causes a lack of love and hate. Sin causes contention. That means this: truth stops contention. Now, so if sin separates, then wisdom and right draw people closer. That makes sense to everybody? Wisdom is seeing life as God sees it. It's seeing truth as God sees it. It's living truth as God wants it lived. So if sin separates, wisdom draws people closer to one another. Sin is the opposite of what God wants. If sin is foolishness, truth is wisdom. Living right is wise. Now, God uses this passage here in Ecclesiastes to illustrate this well. God made man. God found out very quickly in Genesis 2:18, God says it's not good that man should be a what? Alone. God made man not to be alone. Now, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. By the way, that's not just teaching that man needed a wife, though every man probably needs one. Doesn't need any more than that, but he needs one. But sin, now listen to this statement very carefully here. Sin brought loneliness to man because it separated man and God. It also drove a wedge between man and his wife. Genesis chapter 3. Adam, who said thou art naked? Well, God, the woman thou gavest me, she made me do it. Can't you imagine what it was like when they got home that day? Man, he blamed God and his wife all the same sentence. The woman that you gave me, she made me do it. He blamed God and Eve for his wrongdoing. That wasn't going to be a good night at home. You see, sin causes a separation, causes contention, causes conflict, causes separation. Let me show you what I mean. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 13, just about a dozen pages back in your Bible or so. Proverbs is right before Ecclesiastes. Proverbs chapter 13. I'm going to take you through about five or six verses here. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse number 10. Only by what? Pride cometh what? Contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. So God says our pride, our sin, brings contention. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Oh, a whisperer. A froward man soweth strife. Strife is contention. Strife is expressing a different opinion. Folks, just because you have a differing opinion doesn't mean everybody needs to hear it. Just because you don't agree with how something's done doesn't mean everybody's got to hear your mouth say it. God calls you a froward person. God says you're causing contention. You're causing strife. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. Everybody look at me for a second. Be wary of those people that say, come here, we need to talk about somebody for a second. That's case in point for me to say, what do you got to say? Shh. Oh, no. It doesn't happen that way. Do you see how sin separates people? It causes strife. It separates chief friends. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Look at verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. The Bible says a fool is always ready for a fight. They're trying to stir the pot to get everybody upset. That's what it says. Everybody, listen to me very carefully here. This is not a new concept. I've lived by this principle for decades. You know your enemy by how they attack you. President Trump is the master of that. They're the ones calling him the fascist Nazi. Guess who's been the fascist Nazis for the last 4 years? Oh, democracy will end. No, it was only going to end if she won. People don't understand. I loved what he said at whatever hour it was this morning. I'm the 45th and 47th president of the United States of America for all of America. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are. And I respect that. He was not rubbing it in their face. He was just explaining how he's going to make things great again. And since he doesn't have to campaign again, he's got 4 straight years to do it in. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. I love this verse. Parents, you want peace in your home? Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 10. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, everybody, hang on for a second here. I'm for junior church. I'm for our van route, eventually bus routes and different things. But I never let people cause too much trouble in church service. Can I tell you why? Because I'm not going to let one ruin it for 100, 150 people. You want to go ruin it? Get out of here. Go ruin somebody else's. Don't ruin ours. You say, well, I have a right. No, you don't. Not while I'm behind this pulpit, you don't. I'd throw my foot up here and say, this is my pulpit. What goes on here? I'll bust my britches on my own pulpit if I want, but I can't get my foot up there. Amen. If I did, I'd break my neck. But I want you to notice something. Cast out the scorner. That's the person always questioning the rules. That's the person always expressing their opinion with what they do and don't like about rules. A scorner is somebody who is not necessarily a fool, but they're only one half step away. A scorner is the one that's always trying to find the loophole in the rule. The scorner is the one that goes around with a rule book at work or at school or wherever, trying to find a way around to get to do what they want to do, even though they know they shouldn't do it. See, a scorner is the one that tries to get away from doing that which is right. God says, cast out the scorner, cast out the one. Well, he's not as big as he thinks he is. He's not as important as he thinks he is. Oh, that rule is stupid. That's a scorner. Parents, be careful around your children and what you say about rules and authority, because you're destroying yourself. Just thought I'd say that. So, sin, we've established scripturally, sin causes a separation with people. By the way, not just husband and wife, not just parent and children, not just God and man, in every relationship, at work, in our extended families, in any neighborhood relationship, etc., 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 sin causes separation. Wisdom draws people together. Now, I want to jump on this here and see what God has to say about this. Go back to Ecclesiastes 4. Say, preacher, how in the world did you get that out of Ecclesiastes 4? Look at this. And I think you'll see where we're coming from. Look at verse number 9 again. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. That's not just a simple principle by which to live. It's talking about it's better for man should not be alone. Do you know you generally will get more work done when you're working with somebody instead of by yourself? Very few people have the character to be their own boss. Everybody doing okay? The quality of work by people that work from home instead of where they used to work is much less than it used to be. In general. It takes a rare person not to. That's why they only get dressed from here up. So that they're only getting dressed from the waist up. They're in their PJs the rest of the day doing whatever they want to do. They're just doing whatever. I don't care what any man says. You're not going to do your best work in your PJs. You're not. You say, why? Because it's too casual. Root word of casualty is casual. And America has lost her productivity because of her slothfulness. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong if you work at home. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying, in general, the productivity of America has gone way down because of it, though. The quality of work has decreased. You say, well, all I did was sit on a computer at work. I understand. But you also had to interact with people. There were more ideas flaring, which built companies. Now you're just surviving at work, not building companies. Two are better than one. I have had a rule for all these years. I don't move ladder stands and play with ladder stands without help. Say why? For if one fall, he's got somebody help pick him up. That's been a rule of mine all these years. I hope never to have used it. Guess what? When it did come, I needed it. You see, God did not say that you cannot do things on your own. Look at the verse again with me. Two are what?
Better.
Oh, better. He didn't say working by yourself isn't good, but he said it's better when you learn to work with others. More can get done. You see, two people encourage and excite one another for the work. It's that simple. I enjoy our church and school staff. I'm around them every day, just about. I meet with many of them every day. Sometimes we meet as a group. Sometimes it's smaller portions of it, whatever. But can I tell you something? There's a camaraderie there because it's not just one person doing everything. One person doing everything doesn't make a great church. Everybody doing something makes a great church. Boy, that's good stuff. Two people can get far more done than one, and they'll get it done at better quality. They'll challenge one another. If two are working and one falls, you have someone to help you. If you're about to make a mistake and they say, watch out. Yeah, better watch out. They're going to help you so that you don't fall and ruin everything. And when two or more people are working together, you're more apt to catch a mistake. Everybody doing okay? You're more apt to have better or less stressful quality. I don't know how else to say this. On our church staff, we keep everybody in check. Nobody's above it. I'm constantly asking Brother Anthony, Mrs. Barnes, or Beatrice, or my wife, others that are here, what about? Say why? Because I'm trying to keep me in check so that we don't make mistakes. Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers, we're taking pulse and we're finding out what's doing, what's not doing, and every different part of the ministry here, we do those things. And all those things together help build things into something that's stronger. How'd you like to be a choir and be the only one in it? Two are better than one, amen? You're not going to sing all four parts yourself. What was that, Brother Randy? B could do it. Yeah, I want to hear. I want to hear her sing bass. Anyway, can I tell you something? This means, and all that comes to this: two are better than one. This means people need to learn how to work together. I said this a couple few months ago. Made a little bit of a splash, but I'm going to say it again. Sports is the worst way to teach team philosophy. Sports teaches contention, not teamwork. Teamwork is taught at work. Sports is team play, not teamwork. If sports teaches teamwork so well, how come nobody can get along at work? And just about everybody's played sports. Oh, sports are so important. Sports are so important. No, they're not. Get some 400-pound goon and put him in a sack and split the sack in half and tell him go on the line and chase a pig down the field and kick it through some plumbing at the end. Can I tell you something? That doesn't teach life. Learning to work shoulder to shoulder and teaching your kids how to work. And I'm not talking about just physical labor. I'm talking about thinking labor. Children need to be taught that their schoolwork is their work. If they got paid for how they labor at school, most of them would starve to death. Every paper ought to be your best paper. Every page ought to be your best page. You ought to give everything to it. By the way, your career will hinge on it. Your ability to make a living someday will hinge on it. Well, I just don't like... Well, there's a lot of things I do in life that I don't like. There's not an adult in this room that doesn't do something every day they don't like. They got to get up every morning. Let's face it. They got to deal with ding-dongs at work that didn't do their work in school like you. That's just the way it is. People need to learn to work together. Well, I don't need anybody. I can do my work myself. God said two are better than one. That comes from somebody that doesn't want to get along with anybody because you don't want to learn something outside of what you know. People need to learn to play together. I think children ought to learn to play together and get along. Some of that comes by not getting along every once in a while and getting corrected for it. I get that. But people need to learn to play together. Did you know that if there's a pickup game in sports, that if a team loses, it's not the end of life? I know that's hard to believe. People need to learn... this is a good one. People need to learn to be married together and stay. People need to learn how to get along. By the way, sin causes separation in marriage. Every time. The separation doesn't come because, well, we just grew apart. No, you're both sinners. You didn't grow close on purpose. We need to learn, by the way, wisdom draws closer, not pushes each other away. And by the way, pulling together means you actually have to both be moving towards one another, not just one here and making the other come all the way. Now, people need to learn to live together in society, whether they agree with them or not. You know what I'm thankful for right now? No rioting. You want an indicator that what took place was of God? Look at the fact that there's no riots right now. Everybody doing okay? Did you know I'm not going to agree with everything President Trump says or does? Yeah, guess what? He's not Jesus Christ. But it sure is a whole lot better than the other thing that was running. I don't agree with everybody that was on the state ticket. But I'll take the best of the two to choose from. Everybody doing okay? Well, I just won't vote for this one. That means you voted against the one that could be more right than the other. Now, you have the right to do it. I'm not upset. Well, I just don't like this person. I don't care. I don't have to like him to vote for him. I'd rather be 60% right than 0% right. See what I'm saying? Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to back them and invite them here and say, this is a wonderful person. But I will say this. I'd still rather back somebody I'm only 60% for than the person I'm 100% against.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You say, why, preacher? It gets us a little closer to right. There's nobody that's going to be right all the time, even you. I know that's a shock. But we need to learn to live together in this country, whether we agree with each other politically or not. Everybody doing okay? I got to hurry here. Number two, people working together have a better chance of winning battles together. Look at verse number 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now look at me. You can go toe-to-toe with one person you disagree with, but when two more come and it's three on one, if you're by yourself, it's a little tougher. That's why God said two are better than one. Three on two, you still got a chance. You see, it's not easy fighting battles alone. It's not impossible, but it's not as easy. When you work together, it's hard to, by the way, when you work together, you bind your lives together. God talks about a threefold cord. Y'all know what that is? Have you ever seen braided rope before? You ladies and girls know what I'm talking about. You braid hair, you take two or three strands of it and tie it in knots and get it all the way to the end. And yeah, I don't know how that stuff worked. My daughter did it by the hour. I thought, good Lord, thank God, just cut the stuff off and wait 2 weeks and cut it again. Amen, Brother Steve? Wait about 30 years and it'll all fall out and don't have to do nothing with it. Amen? Yeah, buddy. Now, but you have to understand something. Why is that rope braided? Because you take smaller pieces of cord and you wind it together, you braid it together, and when it's bound by two or three, it's exponentially stronger. You can take one piece of thread and pop it. You can put three of them together, put the same amount of pressure on it, and you're not going to break it. And that's just a piece of thread. And God says when you put more than one thing together and you bind it together, you braid it. I've done some deep sea fishing. Very rarely do you use monofilament line deep sea fishing for big fish. I don't care if you got 500-pound test monofilament line. You get something like a shark, sailfish, or big tuna, or stuff on it like that, mahis and stuff. They'll take it and they'll stretch that monofilament line with the tension on it as you pull back, and they'll hit a weak spot and break it. They'll often use braided line for deep sea fishing. Say why? That braided line, it won't stretch. It holds its tension all the way, and you have a better chance of landing that bigger fish. That's exactly what God's talking about right here. He's saying that threefold cord, and when two or more are working together, that strength is there so that when the battles come, you can face the battles. I'll illustrate it with our church staff. Mrs. Barnes has been down. She's starting to come back up. Preacher went down. Brother Anthony's been carrying the load. But that threefold cord kept everything strong. Make sense to everybody? And that's what God's talking about here. If I were the only person around to do everything, we'd have been in trouble. It's not supposed to be a one-man show. Boy, that's good stuff. Sin splits people apart. Wisdom weaves them together. Sin pushes people away. Wisdom weaves people together. Wisdom also knows who and what to be woven to. Listen to me carefully. I did not say we're supposed to weave our lives together with people in the world. You know, I have certain family members I love, but I don't spend much time with them. You say, why? Because we're not going to get along real well for very long. They think I'm the second coming of the devil. And I already know they are. No. Now, wait a minute. All that being said, if we're not careful, we have to understand something here. I have to know whom and what to weave my life to. And as long as people are lined up with that book right there, That's wisdom. God doesn't say go to work and bind yourself with people at work that live like a bunch of animals. But you ought to be able to get along with them. You ought to be able to work with them. Hey, I worked at a machine shop in college. I know what the language is like. I know what the people are like. I know what it's like when you get off work at midnight and they all want to go to the bar. Oh, come on. You're old enough, preacher boy. Yeah, smart enough not to go there. Ah, you Bible thumper. Yep, but at least I'm not going to have a hangover tomorrow. It doesn't bother me a bit. I didn't weave my life together with them, but I was able to work with them. Sin equals error. Wisdom equals truth. Don't weave your life with error. Weave your life with truth. Best recipe you'll ever get. Number three, and I'll hurry. Most of you are tired because you were up last night watching the returns. Number three. And everybody look at me for just a second. I will have us out by 8. But listen to me. I really want you to listen to this next point strongly, because America has messed it up bad. God says position doesn't make one wise. Wisdom is not affected by position. Look at verse 13. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king. Now look at me. God's talking about two different positions here. God said it's better to have a child who is wise than an old foolish king who has great authority. Position doesn't give you wisdom. There are people with high positions that don't have enough sense to blow their own nose right now. King versus a poor person. King versus a child. And God said the poor child can have more wisdom than an old foolish king. So the title, the position, doesn't deem the wisdom. But you understand that? Too many people are position seekers. Too many people are looking for a place of prestige. Well, I have arrived. No, I love what President Trump said in his speech this morning or whatever, last night, this morning. He said, I thank everybody who's done the work, but now the real work starts. We've got a lot to do. I love what he said to Speaker of the House Johnson just a couple days ago. They crisscrossed the country unbelievably and doing the groundwork for all that took place this last election. And Speaker Johnson looked at him and he said, Mr. President, why? You're a man that had all the wealth that anybody could ever want. You left that. You allowed the news media to try to destroy you. You've been shot at, tempted to be killed twice, 91 different lawsuits. You've been impeached. You've been cheated out of office once. And yet you volunteer and you're working harder than any of us can keep up with. He said, why do you do it? The president had already stood to button his coat to leave, and he unbuttoned his coat, sat down, leaned over on his knees, and he said, Mike, he said, we have to understand something. We have to leave it all out on the field. He said, if I don't give everything, and we don't go, if we don't shake one more hand, have one more rally, we don't get one more vote, he said, we got to leave it all out on the field for America. He said, when I die, it's not going to be what's in my bank account. It's going to be what I did. Amen. He said, I'm going to leave it all on the field. I like that. So I didn't say I agree with everything the man says or how he says it. But I do agree with this. He's working himself to death. And who's going to get shot at more than once and still volunteer to go out there and do it? Takes a pretty tough man to take a shot in the ear and stand up and say, fight, fight, fight. Here we go. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I have that kind of courage. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to be underneath all them security guards. Mama didn't raise two fools, amen? Mm-hmm. I've had bullets come near enough that I ain't doing that. That takes some more leadership. And then to say, my shoes. I'm walking out of here, President of the United States. Give me my shoes. Mr. President, give me my shoes. I'm walking out of here as the president. He understood what he was doing. That's incredible leadership. Again, I'm not lifting Donald Trump as a human being. What I'm saying is this, position doesn't do that to you. He was that way before. You know, the man has never drank alcohol, refuses to. He said, that's the stupidest thing anybody can do. You can't make good business deals when your mind's messed up with alcohol. It won't drink it. Never has, never will. There's a lot more that could be said of some of the people you like. You see, wealth and position does not make one wise. Just because you have a big bank account doesn't mean you're wise. Sin seeks all it can to get for self. Wisdom seeks to give to others. There are many people with big positions and not much wisdom. So, position does not determine wisdom. Did you hear what I said? Position does not determine wisdom. Many are wealthy, but money alone does not make one wise. Poor people who manage money well are able to handle more than some wise people that have a lot of money. Maybe we ought to get what God means here. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Sin separates. Wisdom draws people closer together. God wants us to draw closer through wisdom and truth. Can I tell you how we're going to reach our country? We join together, go two by two, and go door to door, reaching people with the gospel. Knocking on doors, giving out tracts, talking to folks about Jesus, inviting them to church, getting them here, getting them saved, getting their lives changed, and watch God do what only God can do. Because two are better than one. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let me ask you a question. How's the relationships in your life? Are they closer or farther away? If there's a separation, there's sin involved. Maybe yours, maybe somebody else's. But sin separates, wisdom draws closer.